Just a few broken pieces to work with. A handful of fragments of me. But Jesus picked them all up with a sweet hand of love. His vision was what I could be. He took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece.
Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand. Grace from our God above, nothing that I have done. No offer was enough for what you see today. Was made by mercy,
saved by grace.
I can't explain how he found me. I was hopelessly lost in sin. But Jesus could see what tomorrow would bring, and he did his work within. With the skill of a potter, he molded me in the image of him.
Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand. Grace from our God above, nothing that I have done. No offer was enough for what you see today. Was made by mercy, saved by grace. Made by mercy, shaped in love, formed by the Father's hand. Grace from our God above, nothing that I have done. No offer was enough for what you see today. Was made by mercy, saved by grace. Nothing that I have done. No offer was enough for what you see today. Was made by mercy,
saved by grace.
Message to you that's heavy on my heart, and I say this a lot, so I hesitate to even say this. And guys, if I get too loud back there, don't hesitate to cut me down. But I hesitate to say this because it seems like every time I preach almost, I feel like I say this, but I had a message prepared, and I sound like the boy that cried wolf, amen. I mean, I had my notes written out. I had my points done. It was complete. It's in this notebook right here. I told the Sunday school class last Sunday morning, the adult class here in the auditorium, what I was going to be preaching on, and I just knew that's what I was going to be preaching on. But this week, I read a statement, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. It just kept going into my mind, and I kept trying to just dismiss it and go with what I had planned, but I couldn't get away from it. So late last night, I got alone with God, and God gave me a message. And I just want to be obedient to God, and as I walked in this building this morning, I saw this full auditorium, I just knew God. This is your message. This is what you want preached. And so I'm going to preach a message this morning on hell. You've seen in Isaiah chapter number 5, the verse that's been read in verse number 14. The Bible says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. and opened her mouth without measure. The subject I'm going to speak on today is not nothing that we'll laugh about. It's a very serious subject, a very sobering subject. And the message that I had prepared, to be honest with you, was the total opposite. I was going to preach on Barnabas, the son of consolation, the son of encouragement, the son of exhortation. And I was going to try to encourage us this morning, but God said no. God said, I want you to preach this message. And so I want to be obedient to God this morning. And I'll be honest with you, this might be the hardest message that I've ever preached. The pastor will know what I'm speaking of. Others that have shared God's word will know what I'm speaking of. There's just a spiritual warfare that's different when you start talking about hell. I can't explain it to you. I told my wife the struggle I was having, and like every good wife, she said, the devil don't want you to preach on hell. And it's the truth. This is the statement that I heard this week. A man named Leonard Ravenhill, many of you have probably heard of him, said this. He said, if you don't preach on hell, you should cut it out of your Bible. You have already cut it out of your preaching. So what's the difference? I couldn't get it out of my mind. I'll be honest with you, I couldn't remember the last time, if ever, I've preached an entire message on hell. And so I began to think about that quote, and all week it was ringing in my head, and my mind went to this verse of scripture in Isaiah chapter number 5 and verse number 14, and I began to think on that verse of scripture, and I realized what I'm about to speak on. I'm not adequate and I'm not capable of presenting it in a way that is worthy of the subject. But I'm going to give it my best effort this morning to preach to you on this subject. Why hath hell enlarged herself? Why hath hell enlarged herself? Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14 says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself. Now I realize in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14 what this word hell is. I looked it up in a Strong's Concordance. This word hell in the Hebrew is Sheol. It is the place of departed spirits. Some commentators say that this place Sheol is the same as the word grave. I personally believe in the perfection of the King James Bible, and had God wanted this word to be grave, he would have said grave. But God said hell. He said, hell hath enlarged herself. And so Sheol, whether it is the grave or whether it is hell as we view it, either way, it is a place of departed spirits. It is a place where people go when they leave this world. Can I tell you, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We are all going to live after death. Some will spend an eternity in hell, and some will spend an eternity in heaven, as we've sung this morning, over in glory land. But as I thought about that verse in Isaiah chapter 5 where it says hell hath enlarged herself, I thought about that rich man over in Luke chapter number 16. You're very familiar with the story. The Bible says that rich man lift up his eyes being in hell, being in torments. He lift up his eyes and he cried out to Father Abraham, and he said Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue from this flame. And you see, he was in that place that I'm speaking of this morning. He is in that place called Sheol. He was in that place of departed spirits. And at that time, there was a gulf. Abraham said, hey, if we would come to you, or if you would come to us, there is a gulf fixed betwixt the two. We cannot come to you and you cannot come to us. You see, Sheol was the place of departed spirits. It was the place where everyone that died went. Those that died and without God, those that died without faith, those that died without trusting trusting in what God had revealed, the Word of God, they went to that side of Sheol that was for the unclean, for those in hell. And then there was the other side that was called Abraham's bosom, and that's where Lazarus, and that's where all the Old Testament saints were. And at that time, that was Sheol. That was hell. That's the place that I'm speaking of this morning. Now, I don't know for sure, but I do believe this. I believe that in Ephesians, I believe it is, where Jesus, after he died on the cross, he told that when he was hanging there on the cross, he told that thief, he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Paradise is Sheol, Abraham's bosom, this place that I'm speaking of. You see, Jesus, the Bible says that he descended first. Jesus took that thief and Jesus went down into Abraham's bosom. He went down into Sheol, and the Bible says he that descended then ascended and he set the captives free. And I believe at that time Jesus went to Sheol and he took all those that were being reserved there, those that were in Abraham's bosom, those that were believers in God. He took all of them and took them with him to the third heaven. You see, Jesus said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." So those that knew Jesus went with Jesus to be where he was. And the rest of those, that rich man and others that were in hell, I believe at that point in time or some point in time after that, the gulf was removed and hell enlarged herself. And you might say this morning, why? Why hath hell enlarged herself? Can I tell you this? I'll be honest with you, and I thought about it this week. I believe hell, I don't believe I'd be doing any harm to the Scriptures if I take this verse of Scripture and I'm going to and use it as a springboard and to speak on hell as we view it, hell as we think of it. And can I tell you, hell as we view it every day is getting larger. Maybe not in size, but in population. Every day, hell is enlarging herself. I'm going to go further than that and say this. Every hour, hell is enlarging herself. I'm going to go even farther and say this. Every minute, hell is enlarging herself. I don't think that I would be exaggerating this morning to say every second, hell is enlarging herself. There are billions of people in this world. I don't know the statistics, but I know as we sit in this building this morning, there are going to be multitudes of people that will go into eternity. They will go into a place of eternal hell and damnation and fire where the worm dieth not and the fire is not consumed. Or they will go to an eternal place of heaven in the third heaven in the abode of God to be present with the Lord forever. Multitudes, as I speak this morning, will go to one of those two places. And so with that thought, I'm going to speak on the subject, hell hath enlarged herself. Why? Why hath hell enlarged herself? Number one, I believe because of disobedience. Because of disobedience, hell hath enlarged herself. You see, in Isaiah chapter 14, turn there since you're in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, if you'll turn over in Isaiah chapter 14, look in verse number 9. Let's see what the Bible says here. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9, "Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee." And verse 12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." I believe right here we have the first act of disobedience. Now understand what I'm saying. I don't think it's the first act of human disobedience, but it's the first act of disobedience. Lucifer, that created being, if you read, and you don't have to turn there, but if you'll read over in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 15, the Bible says that thou wast perfect in all of thy ways until iniquity was found in thee. Iniquity is wickedness. It's disobedience. And see, the Bible also says in Matthew chapter number 25 in verse number 41, Jesus speaking said this. He said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You see, I don't believe that hell was prepared for man. Hell was prepared, the Bible says, for the devil, for Lucifer, and those angels that had sinned, that had been disobedient to God. That's who it was prepared for. But if we were to turn to Genesis chapter number 3 this morning, we would see in Genesis chapter 3 at the end of chapter, well, in Genesis chapter 2 at the end of the chapter, that God told Adam, he said, "Adam, you can eat freely of the trees in the garden, but the day that thou eatest of the tree of knowledge and evil," he said, of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, "the day you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die." And then in Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 3, the Bible says that Satan come to the woman and he said, "Hath God said? Hath God said that you cannot eat from every tree of the garden?" And she said, "God has said that we can eat all the trees of the garden, but the day that we eat of that one tree, we shall surely die." And then verse number 6, I believe it is, of Genesis chapter number 3, the Bible says that they ate. That the woman, she ate, and her husband Adam, he also ate with her. And can I tell you what that was? That was disobedience. Hear me, young people, this morning. Disobedience is a serious thing. Disobedience to your parents is a serious thing. Disobedience to your authorities is a serious thing. But disobedience to God is a very serious thing. Because of disobedience, hell hath enlarged herself. Because man disobeyed God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, death is the result of disobedience, and death is the gate to hell. Those that die without God, those that die without Christ, are going to die in their sin and spend an eternity in hell. And the reason they are going to die is because of disobedience. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Ezekiel chapter number 18, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Disobedience is a reason why hell hath enlarged herself. Man disobeying God. You say, "Brother David, why? Why is there multitudes going to hell?" Can I tell you this morning, there's multitudes going to hell because of disobedience. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." The wicked, the disobedient, the Bible says, shall be turned into hell. Disobedience is a reason why hell hath enlarged herself. Number two, not only hath hell enlarged herself because of disobedience, but hell hath enlarged herself because of disbelief. Psalm 14, verse 1. "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 says this, but the fearful and unbelieving, catch that, the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You say, Brother David, I'm not a murderer. Brother David, I'm not an idolater. Brother David, I'm not I'm not abominable. I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not even a liar. Can I tell you, if you are an unbeliever, disbelief is the reason that hell hath enlarged herself. Mark chapter 16, the Bible says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Jesus, during his ministry, many times Jesus said, I could do no great works here because of their unbelief. You say, why hath hell enlarged herself? Hell hath enlarged herself because of disobedience. Hell hath enlarged herself because of disbelief. Turn to Acts chapter 26, if you would. Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. I want to show you an example of an unbeliever. Acts chapter number 26. If you look at the beginning of 26, it says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things which whereof I am accused of the Jews. And if you'll read down through here, you will see where the Apostle Paul began to tell King Agrippa his testimony. He began to tell King Agrippa about his experience on the road to Damascus. He began to tell King Agrippa about how that he met Jesus, how a light shone from heaven, and how that he was saved by the grace of God. He preached Jesus to him. And the Bible says that in verse 23, it says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And look what Paul says. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Verse 26 says, for the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. And look at verse 27. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He said, I know thou believest. And the Bible says in 28 that then Agrippa said unto Paul, some of the saddest words probably ever spoken from the lips of a man. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, Paul, you almost talked me into it. I almost believe, but I'm not persuaded. Can I tell you the reason hell hath enlarged herself is because of disbelief. There could be someone in this building this morning. You grew up in church. Maybe one of these fine young people. You grew up in church. You know about God. You've heard the Bible. You know what it teaches. But you just don't quite believe. Almost mama's talked me into it. Almost daddy's talked me into it. Almost Pastor Freeman's talked me into it. Almost, Pastor BJ has talked me into it. Almost, Brother David, you talked me into it. But I don't believe. Can I tell you that disbelief is the reason that hell hath enlarged herself? Disbelief. You can't get to heaven on mama believing. You can't get to heaven on daddy believing. You can't get to heaven on the preacher believing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can I tell you, if the Bible is saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, then we can just say by common sense, believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt not be saved. Disbelief is a reason why hell hath enlarged herself. Number three. Number one, I said disobedience. Number two, I said disbelief. Number three, I say delay. Delay. You say, what do you mean by delay, Brother David? I mean tomorrow. I think of the story in Exodus. I've been trying to read through my Bible this new year, and wasn't too long ago I read there in Exodus where God had used Moses to send those plagues on Egypt and on Pharaoh. And there was one of the plagues where God sent the frogs in, and God and Moses came to Pharaoh, and he said, Moses, get these frogs out of here. And Moses said, when do you want me to go to God? And he said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. Tomorrow you can remove them. Can I tell you, tomorrow is the devil's word? I just believe in my heart there's folks in this building this morning that deep down in their soul, they know this morning that they're not saved. They know this morning that they're not on their way to heaven. And they really, they believe. They're not in disbelief. They believe. But they just are putting it off. They're delaying it. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is the devil's word. God's word is today. Jesus said today. Hebrews says today, if you will hear my voice and hearken and harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. You see, today is the day to trust Christ. See, tomorrow might not come. The Bible says that life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. The Bible says that a man's not to boast himself of tomorrow, for no man knows what a day may bring forth. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Don't delay. You say, why has hell enlarged herself? Because of delay. There are going to be people that are going to go, and I know it's hard for us to get this morning. I know it's hard for us to get this deep in our souls. I've been trying for a couple days now. That's why I tried to get away from preaching this, because I don't even know if I believe it. But hey, can I tell you this? There are going to be multitudes of people that are going to go in eternity in hell as we're in this building this morning. And you know why they're going there? Because they delayed what they knew they needed to do. There's folks that's going to sit in Baptist or Bible-believing churches this morning, and they're going to hear a preacher stand up and preach the Word of God and tell them how they can go to heaven, and they're going to delay it. They're going to say, no, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, I'm just not ready. And they're going to walk out the doors of a church, and they're going to get into a car accident, or something's going to happen. They're going to have a heart attack, and they're going to go into eternity, and they're going to be like that rich man in Luke chapter 16 that lift up his eyes, being in torments. It's real, brethren. It's real. Delay. I'll show you an example of it. Acts chapter, you're here in Acts. Let's turn to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, Paul again speaking. Thank God for a man like Paul. Paul speaking in Acts chapter number 24. He shared his testimony again. Verse number 24 says this. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. The governor Felix said, hey, go get that guy Paul that was preaching about the resurrection, that was preaching about eternity, that was preaching about heaven and hell. Go get that guy Paul and bring him to me. My wife and I want to listen to him. And it says that they heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And look at 25, it says, and he reasoned, Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He talked to them about hell. He said, judgment is coming. Felix, it is appointed unto man, wants to die, and after this, the judgment. And look what Felix said. The Bible says, Felix trembled. Can I tell you? That sounds like a man to me that believes. The Bible says in another place, Jesus said, the devils believe. You know what they do? They tremble. Because they know it's already been appointed. There's a place prepared for us. And they know it. The Bible says they tremble because they believe. Felix trembled when he heard of the judgment to come. He believed. But look what it says. He said, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I will call for thee. As I read through the book of Acts, I see nowhere where Felix called for Paul again. I don't know what happened, but I tend to believe Felix delayed. And today, as I stand before you, Felix is in hell. He said, it's not a convenient time, Paul. Next time. I've watched people time and time again walk in the doors of a Bible-believing church believing there's a God, believing that He sent His Son, believing that they're a sinner, but not willing to repent and trust Him. They say, tomorrow. Maybe next time. Not today. It's not convenient. I might have to stop going this place. I might have to quit doing this act. You see, they're getting the cart before the horse. They're trying to jump from A to Z. They need to start right there at the beginning. And don't put off till tomorrow. Don't delay. Don't delay. Hell's full of people today. I'm just convinced of it. They delayed. They said, not today. Maybe next time. I've talked to people and I've pleaded with them on their front porch. I've pleaded with them at work. I've pleaded with them in their home, in their living room, and said, hey, I can't make you do it, but you need to do this. And they got tears rolling down their face and their lip is quivering. I'm so thankful. I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but Nikki, I'm so thankful. That first time me and Brother Brandon came to your house and we stood there and we talked to Mike and he said, not today. He said, not today. His lip was trembling. He was standing there in front of his truck and he said, not today. Not today. I'm just not quite ready. And I said, Mike, I can't make you, man, but I wish you would. He said, not today. And we left that house and I was heartbroken because I couldn't make him do it. But I'm so glad that on a Thursday night, I got a phone call and Mike said, Brother David, I'm ready. I'm ready. Will you come by and talk to me? And I was able to take the word of God and show that man that he could be forgiven, that he could trust Christ as his Savior. And because of that today, because he did not delay any longer, he's in heaven today. He's with Jesus today because he didn't delay. Don't delay. See, he got another chance. You might not. Not everybody gets another chance. Don't put it off. You're not guaranteed another chance. Don't delay. Number four, and I'll be done. Or close to done. Amen. I said that last week, and John Baldwin said, he said he shook his head, looked at Curtis, and said, he's lying. I said, we wasn't going to laugh this morning. There I go, laughing. It's no laughing matter, but don't believe a preacher when he said, Paul said numerous times, you know, this is the last thing in his letters, and he just keeps on going on. Amen. Amen. Number one, disobedience. Number two, disbelief. Number three, delay. Number four, why hell hath enlarged herself? Deception. Deception. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 9, it says, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That deceiver. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this about him. In chapter 11, verse 10, I believe it is, it says that he has deceitful workers. The angels. Those fallen angels, says, are they deceitful workers? And verse 11 says, even Satan himself hath been transformed into an angel of light. Say, why has hell enlarged herself this morning, Brother David? Because of disobedience, because of disbelief, because of delay, because of deception, because the devil has sold them a lie. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, that's Satan, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. When I think of those that are deceived, I think about those over in Matthew chapter number 7, where the Bible says that Jesus said, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? Did we not cast out devils in thy name? Did we not do many wondrous works in thy name? And Jesus said that he'll tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. They were deceived. They said, we've done works for you. We've prophesied. We've preached about you. We've done things in your name. But they were deceived. Hell is full today of people that were deceived. I'm not scared to say this morning, I would say there's folks in this building this morning, in a room this size, if you read through your Bible and you see the tares and the wheat, and you see what the Bible talks about, people that think they're saved, that not saved. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation this morning, but can I tell you, there are folks that are going to wake up in hell, and they're going to wonder how they got there, and they got there because they were deceived. They were trusting in their church membership. They were trusting in baptismal waters. They were trusting in sincerity. They were trusting in religion. They were trusting in their good deeds. They were trusting in their last name. They were trusting in all these things, but they were not trusting in the one thing that can get a person to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. Good works seem right. Church membership seems right. Baptism seems right. But can I tell you, none of those things will get you to heaven. Your good works won't get you to heaven. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Works won't get us to heaven. Doesn't matter how much we work, how much we do, how good we are, that will not get us to heaven. And there are so many people that are deceived this morning that they're going to heaven because of their good works. They're going to heaven because they're a member at such and such church. They're going to heaven because when they were a little boy, a little girl, they got dipped in a baptismal water. Can I tell you, you could get baptized in every baptismal pool in the world, and you're not going to go to heaven if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, why do they believe that? Because the Satan himself has been transformed into an angel of light. Because some preacher walked into a church somewhere and took a Bible and he opened it up and he told folks, you must be baptized to get to heaven. He told folks, you must be a good person or you're going to go to hell. He told folks, you must join this church or you can't go to heaven. There's even people that believe they've got to strap a bomb to themselves and fly it into a tower or walk into a public place and blow themselves up to get them to heaven. And they're sincere as they can be. But can I tell you, they're sincerely wrong. They're deceived. They're deceived by the God of this world that has blinded their minds to think that they can escape hell by some act like that. There's only one way that a person can escape hell, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Only way to get to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by baptism. It's not by church membership. It's not by strapping a bomb to yourself. It's not by living a perfect life. No, it's by Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The only way a person can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's so many sincere people in hell today. That breaks my heart. Sincere, but sincerely wrong. You know them. I know them. I see tears in this building this morning because you got family members that believe with all of their heart that they can go to heaven because they're a good person, and they are deceived. The devil's blinded them. Disobedience, disbelief, delay tomorrow, not today, deception. You say, why hath hell enlarged herself? I believe that's four reasons. And I'm going to close with this. No doubt, there's some folks in this building this morning. And you think, well, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I think we're wrong. That's why sinners have enlarged hell. Now I want to tell you why the saints, the saved, what have we done to enlarge hell? Well, it's the exact same thing. Number one, disobedience. Disobedience. You say, Brother David, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. Well, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go. The word gospel, the first two letters, and it's go. Go. Tell them. Tell them what I've done. But you know what? If we're not careful, we're disobedient. Can I tell you this morning? Hell hath enlarged herself because of my disobedience. Because God said, go, and I'm not going. And hell's growing every day because there's Christians, there's saved people all around this world that's sitting on their blessed assurance and they're not telling anybody about Jesus. Our disobedience is why hell hath enlarged herself. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 26 and 27, you can find where Paul said, I'm pure of the blood of all men, for I've not ceased to preach the gospel to everybody. Paul said, hey, my hands are clean. I've told everybody that I could about Jesus. You see, Paul understood something about the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, the Bible teaches that in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, that if we know and we don't warn them, if we don't warn them of the wrath to come, if we don't warn them that there's a way to get out, the Bible says their blood will be on our account. There are folks sitting in this church this morning, and if we're honest this morning, we've got blood of lost people dripping off of our fingers because we are being disobedient. And I know we don't like to hear that, but it's the facts, brethren. That's why I fought with this message. The devil doesn't want us to know that one day we're going to stand before God. And yes, thank God our sins have been forgiven. We're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But we're going to stand before God. They're going to stand before a white throne, and they're going to be put into hell. But we're going to stand before something called the judgment seat of Christ. And some folks are going to stand there with bloody hands. Some folks are going to stand there with people that they didn't tell that God said tell. Because of our disobedience, hell hath enlarged herself. Because of our disbelief. Because of our disbelief, Matthew chapter number 17, you got the story of that man, that son was a wild man, and he had devils, and they came to the disciples and they said, "Hey, can you cast these devils out?" And the disciples said they couldn't do it. And when Jesus came down, Jesus cast the devil out, and the disciples said, "Why couldn't we do it?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief." And I'm convinced this morning that hell hath enlarged herself because some of us just don't believe. Can I tell you, I am including myself in this category. Sometimes I think we just don't believe. It's easy to say we do. It's easy to tell people, "Oh yeah, I believe in heaven, I believe in hell." Can I tell you this? If I believe for 1 minute that this building was about to fall, 5 minutes, this building's going to come down. I'd do everything within my power to get upstairs and get the little babies. I got little babies upstairs. I'd get upstairs as fast as I could. I'd get back to that toddler class and get my little girl as fast as I could. And I'd get her out of this building because I know this building's getting ready to fall. If I really believed this building was getting ready to fall, I would do something about it. And can I tell you, we can say and say and say that we believe that people are going into an eternity in hell. But if we're not doing nothing about it, I very seriously doubt we believe it. If we really believe, I was put to the test. Wasn't I, Mom? I was put to the test. I believe. I say I believe. About 3 weeks ago, my dad laid on a life support for 7 days. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not sure I believe. Because if I believe, Pastor, if I really believe, I'd go in that hospital room in that ICU and I'd lay on the floor and I wouldn't care what doctors said. I wouldn't care what nurses said. I wouldn't care what anybody said. I would lay on my face like David did when God said, "I'm going to take that baby." David went in and he laid before the Lord and he fasted and he prayed. And if I really believed that my dad was getting ready to go into an eternity in hell, you would think that I would do something about it. Do we believe? When was the last time we told somebody? When was the last time we prayed for somebody? When was the last time we went across the street and knocked on somebody's door and told them, "Hey, Jesus loves you. Jesus will save you." Do we really believe? You see, hell hath enlarged herself because of our disobedience. Hell hath enlarged herself because of our disbelief. Hell hath enlarged herself because of our delay. If you're like me, there's been many times, Brother Troy, when I said, "I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him." I had a cousin the week of Christmas take his life. You know, I thought about him a lot over the years since I've been saved. I have. I'm not going to lie to you. My wife knows. I'd get on Facebook and look him up. And I think, I'm going to contact him. But I didn't do it. I delayed. Could I have made a difference? I don't know. I guess I'll never know. I got family members. I know they're not saved. And I know I need to call them. I know I need to visit them. I know I need to pray for them. I know I need to go by. But I keep thinking I will. His brother lives down in Franklin County. His brother lives down there. And I told myself right after that happened, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write him a long letter. And I'm going to tell him about what God's done in my life and what God can do in his life. But you know what, Brother David? I've put it off. I've delayed. You say, why hath hell enlarged herself, Brother David? It's easy to look at the sinners and say, because they're disobedient, because they don't believe, because they're delaying, because they're deceived. But I think we might need to look in the mirror and say, hell hath enlarged herself because of our disobedience, because of our disbelief, because of our delay. Maybe hell hath enlarged herself. And then last, hell hath enlarged herself because of our deception. See, I believe we're deceived. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." See, we can come to church And I'm afraid of this. I'm very afraid of this. I've got plans this afternoon. Today's my son's birthday. And if I'm not careful, I'll preach this message this morning and mean every word of it. But I'll walk outside of these doors and I'll hear the word of God. And I'll walk outside of these doors and I will just forget what I heard and I won't put it to practice in my life. And I'm deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself if I think just hearing the word of God is enough. It's not enough. Putting a $20 bill in the offering plate and putting missions on the envelope is not enough. Now that's good. You ought to put 100. Amen. Singing in the choir is not enough. That's good. You ought to sing in the choir. But if we think that that's all we've got to do to keep people out of hell, we're deceiving ourselves. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, you have a treasure in earthen vessels. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Jesus said, you're a city that's set on a hill. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. Jesus said, hey, you need to let people know that they don't have to go to hell. And we are deceiving ourselves if we think coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting is enough. It's not enough. We do this for us. I come to church because I need it. It's not what I do when I'm inside these walls that matters. It's what I do when I'm outside of these walls that matters. Who am I trying to rescue from hell? Who am I trying to deliver? Who am I trying to reach? You see, hell hath enlarged herself because of sinners. But can I tell you, hell hath enlarged herself because of saints. Because we're disobedient. Because we don't believe. Because we delay. And because we are deceived, hell hath enlarged herself. I think about that parable. I wrote it down. I won't go into it. That parable there with the 10 pounds. The master said he's going away and he left those pounds with those servants. And some of those servants did something with what was left with them. I believe it was the gospel. Some of them took it. They multiplied it. Some of those servants, one of those servants in particular, he took his treasure, his pound, he hid it. Jesus said, it's going to be required of you. He was disobedient. I don't know, maybe he didn't believe. Maybe he was just delaying. Maybe he thought, well, I will do it. Or maybe he was deceived. He thought, I'm doing the right thing. Either way, he did nothing what was given with what was given to him. What are you doing? What am I doing with what has been given to us? Hell hath enlarged herself. And if I'm honest with you this morning, you might not feel this way, but I do. I am a part of the reason. And I don't want to be. I don't want to be. If you would, you can bow your heads and close your eyes and